Thank you. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Matthew. I have been encouraged indeed when I read the letters which come from some of you, dear friends, thanking the Lord for the blessing this study of Matthew has been to your hearts. And I just trust it will also transform your lives. The wonderful, wonderful thing to know that we have one who not only put away our sin, but one who burst the bands of the tomb. He defeated not only death and the grave, but defeated our great adversary, the devil. For you remember in John chapter 12, our Lord could say, "Now is the prince of this world judged. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me," signifying by what death he should glorify God. And the resurrection is the guarantee that our Savior defeated the devil and all his cohorts. The resurrection of Christ guarantees that death is a defeated foe. The resurrection of Christ guarantees that we'll never again see our sins if you've put your trust in the Savior. It's a guarantee of life eternal. It's a guarantee of the person and work of our Savior. As Romans chapter 1 verse 4 declares, he was marked out from everybody else by the resurrection from the dead. And we're studying now the 28th chapter. In our last lesson, we were dealing with the resurrection of our Lord from the dead, the message of the angels when he said to the women early that Lord's Day morning, when he said to them, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." And then he's going to meet them in Galilee. You'll notice this in verse 7. "He is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him." And these women departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. What word? That the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, and that he would meet them in Galilee. Now, I'm not going to take the time today to go over what we had in our last one or two lessons of how men try to keep the body of Jesus in the tomb, and of all the various arguments against the resurrection of Christ from the dead. They even say that our Lord at the cross swooned, that he was not really dead, he just went into a swoon, unconscious, because of his suffering, and they put him in the tomb thinking he was dead, and that the coolness of the tomb brought him to. And the arguments of men against the resurrection, some of them are really very foolish, unreasonable. The Bible is so simple and so clear. As we have it in 1 Peter chapter 1, 21, "Who by him do believe in God who raised him from the dead, that your faith and your hope might be in God." Or as Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This was the great theme of the early church. It was no pipe dream. They rejoiced in the reality. They saw him. They felt him. They heard him. My friend, you couldn't fool them. If you read the first part of Corinthians chapter 15, you will notice the ones to whom our Lord appeared. And then our Lord taught the disciples for 40 days from his resurrection until the coming of the Spirit of God. He taught them according to the first chapter of Acts. He taught them concerning the things of the kingdom of God. These men were not fooled. In fact, they went out with great joy. This was what transformed a cursing, weak fisherman into a flaming evangel of the gospel of Christ. This is what transformed this man Saul of Tarsus, one of the most brilliant men of his day, from being a persecutor to a missionary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God didn't take the mighty and the wise, he took fishermen. He took these simple Galileans and transformed them. into flaming evangels of the gospel, where men and women by the thousands came to know the Savior. Their lives were absolutely transformed. And my friend, you can't account for Christianity, and you can't account for transformed lives apart from the fact that God raised His Son from the dead, and we offer to the world not only one who died and was buried, but one who was raised again from the dead. I wish in some way I could get to our present generation of professing Christians the wonder of it all, the marvel that our Savior, who died such an ignominious death. And believe me, the Romans saw to it that He was dead, and the Jews would make sure that He was dead. And Pilate would never have given up the body to Joseph of Arimathea if he hadn't been dead. And they buried him and sealed him and set a watch. Raised from the dead. Come, come, my friend. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He's risen from the dead. And then the angel said to the women, you go and tell His disciples, Peter and the rest of them, that He's going to meet them in Galilee. Behold, I have told you. So they went with great joy. It's true, they were still, I'm sure, full of fear because of the great angel who was there. But nevertheless, their joy, they had seen the place where the Lord lay. They knew He was raised from the dead. Which leads to the next two or three verses, where we have them meeting the victorious king. I use that word because Matthew is the book of the king. And I read verses 9 and 10 of Matthew 28. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Then said Jesus to them, be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, if you go back to the book of Mark, chapter 16, we find that the first one to whom Jesus appeared was Mary Magdalene. And here you have these women. You have Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And they came, and Jesus met them as they were leaving. Must have been a wonderful, wonderful experience. The last time they saw Jesus, He was on a cross, crucified in shame. They heard the rabble. They heard the scorn and the scoffing and the sneering of the priests. They saw Pilate washing his hands of the whole business. It may be they may have heard the testimony of the centurion. Truly this was a righteous man. This was the Son of God. However, now they've seen Him. They went to the tomb to meet a dead Christ. Behold, they met a living Christ. You know, it must have been a wonderful experience to go to embalm the body of their friend Jesus, their master. He's not there. And then to have the Lord meet them. Not only to hear the voice of the angel saying, He's not here, He's risen. Come on, see the place. But to meet the Savior face to face. And I read here that Jesus said, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Now someone is going to raise the question about Mary Magdalene over there in John chapter 20, where the Lord says, touch me not. But you see, my friends, when Mary Magdalene met Him, in John chapter 20, she was alone. She couldn't believe it was Jesus. She wanted to feel Him. He said, don't you touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But here, you have those. Here's Mary Magdalene again with the other Mary, and possibly Salome. And there they held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. There's no unbelief here now. There was fear and unbelief in Mary Magdalene. She could hardly believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. But here, held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Oh, what an experience. To go to meet a dead Christ, and behold, they met a living Christ. I tell you, my friends, to me it's a, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that our Savior is no longer on a cross and is no longer in the tomb, and he's just as living today as he was when he met the women outside the tomb. He's a living Savior. That's why in John 14:19 he could say to his disciples to encourage them, he said, "Because I live, you shall live also." That's why he said to Mary, to Martha and Mary in John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life." Do you believe that your Savior lives? You say, yes, of course he lives. He was raised from the dead. Do you know it in your practical life? Is your Savior just a theme of a doctrine? Someone you heard about? In fact, you know, it's possible to be talking about Jesus and not come into the realization that he's a living being, a living Savior who has all authority. He's burst the bands of the tomb. And I'll tell you, having been a pastor for a great many years here in Portland, and having been with God's people when they left the scene for glory, you can't tell me, my friend, that the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't the power of God. Not only unto the salvation of saints, but it has destroyed the fear of death. And to see the saints of God just eager to leave. In fact, I've had some Christians tell me, "Please don't pray that I'll be kept here. I want to go home. I just want to go home." And my friend, you know, it's wonderful to have a home to which you can go. And it's a wonderful thing to have a Savior who lives, and to have one who has burst the bands of the tomb and has all authority in heaven and earth. So you have this wonderful, wonderful experience of these women. They met Jesus. They held him by the feet and worshipped him. By the way, do you do that? Do you worship him? We do not worship, I repeat this, we do not worship a dead Christ, a buried Christ. We worship a living Christ, one who has already burst the bands of the tomb. He's alive forevermore. As Paul, in encouraging Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is in jail, going to have his head cut off. He's already appeared before Caesar. As he could say in chapter 4, "The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." But how does he start that little epistle of 2 Timothy? "Listen, Timothy, God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of a sound mind. Hence, do not be ashamed of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. For you have a message, for Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees immortality. It guarantees eternal life. It guarantees an eternal salvation. My friend, you would expect everyone in the world to accept Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, as their Savior, wouldn't you? But no, sir, they don't want him. They don't want Jesus Christ to interfere with their life. Now, if Jesus Christ was just a doctrine, you wouldn't have that problem. But being a living Savior, they don't want him to interfere with their lives, with their sin. And oh, again I say, the wonder of wonders, that when a sinner comes and accepts this Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who burst the bands of the tomb, life, pardon, redemption, relationship to God is guaranteed by this very resurrection. Now let's go to the next portion we have here. And we have in verses 11 to 15, what the Jews, the attitude of the Jews. Now the women, they worshipped him. What about these Jews? Now listen. Verse 11, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Here we see again unbelief is a very, very irrational thing. The evidence is spurned. Listen to the excuse. You soldiers who were watching round the tomb, you go and tell Pilate that his disciples came by night and stole away the body while we slept. If they were sleeping, how would they know who came to the tomb? If they were sleeping, how did they know that these were his disciples? If they were sleeping, how did they know that he came out of the tomb? What do they know if they were asleep? Nothing. It's ridiculous to try and put such a thing before people. The excuse. But my friend, it's no more foolish than the unbelief of people today. Just like you have in the book of Acts, when the man was healed, they said to each other, "We can't gainsay what has happened. The man is standing here healed." They have the evidence. They spurn the evidence because of unbelief, because of their hatred for the Savior and their opposition to the gospel. And I'm sorry to say that same spirit is at work in the world today. It's an astounding thing to me, the various ideas that men have to reject the risen, living Son of God. I just pray, my friend, for you today, that you'll not try to rationalize your unbelief. One of the best attested facts of all history is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You read that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You read the book of Acts. These men weren't fools. These men weren't having dreams or visions. They actually saw the Savior. And I'm glad to be able to do what the women did. They fell at his feet and worshipped him. Do you do that? Or are you going to take sides with these unbelieving Jewish leaders who gave money to the soldiers to lie about what took place? For either you stand with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the risen Son of God, or you stand by those who rejected him and spurned him and crucified him. My friend, that's the issue. That's the issue. The difference between life and death is Christ. The difference between heaven and hell is Christ. The difference between eternal life and eternal death is Christ. And he guarantees his salvation by his resurrection. And he guarantees the judgment by his resurrection. Oh, listen, friend. There's not much time left. The coming of the Lord is near. This one who was raised from the dead promised to return again. When he comes the next time to the earth, he's going to come, not as a Savior, but as a judge. Do you not think it would be a point of wisdom to get down before God and find out where you are and what your relationship to him is? For remember, his resurrection guarantees either your salvation or your judgment. And may the Lord make it very clear and real to you today. And fall down and worship him, trusting him as your Savior.